Welcome to Schneps Connects. Today, we're honored to have Maury Litwack, who's the founder and CEO of Teach Coalition. Maury's leadership at Teach Coalition has positioned the organization as a formidable force in education funding advocacy, particularly for non-public schools. From securing critical funding to advocating for school safety measures, Maury and his team are at the forefront of shaping policies that impact education across the nation. So Maury, I'm thrilled to have you here and to learn more about you and your organization.
I'm thrilled to be here, Josh. I like talking politics. I like talking getting things done.
Then we're going to do just that. So thank you again for your time. And why don't we start off by just sharing a little bit about Teach Coalition's mission and really what led to its founding as a major voice in education funding advocacy.
Well, most people don't know that in the states that they live in, that the non-public school population will often represent 10 upwards of 20% of the education population. And so you have within that scope, Jewish schools and Catholic schools and Islamic schools, and you have all the children and you have parents and you have grandparents. And so you have really like a built-in constituency that lives there. And there's so many issues that they care about that are unfortunately just foreign to the average elected official. So things that every elected official should be paying attention to, which are ideas like protecting all children. So the increases in anti-Semitism, increase in Islamophobia. How do you protect every child and give them the resources that they need? Or a healthy lunch for every student. When you're fighting for free lunches and free meals, how does it make sure every student receives that? Or if you're investing in STEM education and the idea is that you're trying to create economic development within your state, why would you want to limit that just to public and charter schools? Why wouldn't you want to include the many non-public school and faith-based schools as well? So we started an organization to really represent those interests, and we're very, very proud of the fact that it exists in 7 states, and it represents not just Jewish schools, but also Islamic and Catholic and Greek Orthodox, all these other institutions where we fight in a coalition together for these causes.
Well, listen, it's certainly a great cause. Education is, you know, the foundation of really what creates, you know, great adults. I mean, you think about back in terms of what I learned and, you know, as a child, it really forms the person that you become. So it's great that you're doing that. Talk a little bit about Teach Coalition's influence and really what are some of the key initiatives and legislative efforts that you've championed to secure funding for non-public schools across the country.
I think that it would fall into probably 3 buckets. So the first bucket would be things like STEM and STEAM and really making a greater investment in that. The state of New York in 2017 passed a law that reimburses non-public schools for science and technology, engineering, and math teachers at the rate that the public school teachers are paid. And what that did was allow for non-public schools to literally keep their teacher salaries competitive so that they could compete for these great STEM teachers and then help these children receive a great STEM education. That's literally a great ROI for the state. That's one example. Another example would be security funding, like I mentioned, which is getting guards and locks and windows and doing that across the board. And that's something we've championed in a number of states that we're very, very proud of because we think it's just such a natural, so really almost like a slam dunk from a policy perspective. It's something that legislators really have understood. And then I would say that there's a whole gamut of other things that we really care about greatly, whether that's, you know, a great story is an example. There was a mother in New Jersey who every day had to take their child to school to help with the child had diabetes and to help with the medicine and everything else like that. The reason for that was because the school couldn't afford a nurse. We were able to help bring in enough funding so that the school could afford a nurse. So just a lot of the different things that we work on, I think, fall into one of those buckets, whether it's funding for teachers, funding to protect schools, or funding for services for children.
You know, school safety is obviously one of those buckets that you mentioned and is tremendously important. I mean, everyone wants to make sure or feel that their children are safe. I mean, can you expand upon that in terms of, you know, your advocacy for enhancing safety measures in those schools?
Yes, the way it came about was that a number of years ago in New York State, there were laws being passed after some of the terrible school shootings that occurred where they were fighting for more security funding for public school children and charter school students. And we raised our hand and said, what about our children as well? Because in so many Jewish, Catholic, Islamic schools, they have to make choices and terrible choices in terms of we're putting kids on scholarship, we're allowing them to go into school, and now we have to add additional security cost burden to it. And so the choices were bad. And so we went to the state and said, if you're going to give per pupil security funds, please give us per pupil security funds. And that legislation ended up really taking off and mushrooming into California had now security funding, and Pennsylvania does, and Florida does, and Maryland does. And we're very proud of the fact that New York was sort of a leader on it, and all the other states did that model. So now there's just, you go into the average Jewish, Catholic, or Islamic school or Protestant school in America, and you will literally see security guards, you'll see security protections. And that's thanks to the work that we did and championed as a coalition, which is another beautiful thing that we always talk about is I don't know another group that can bring all the faith-based groups together and make real change, real policy happen.
Well, I'm sure the parents certainly appreciate the advocacy on that. That's for sure.
Yeah,
So,
we 100%. Safety is not something that parents should have to worry about, but if it's a reality, we want to deal with it.
yeah, especially when you hear things across the country that happen, that it scares parents everywhere. I don't care what community they're in. Having that extra layer of security is definitely going to put parents at ease and stop, I think, certain things that could potentially happen when people see guards there. I'd love for you to share any misconceptions that you think people may have. You know, one of the things that I'm a big believer of is education is so important with people that may not understand non-public schools. Are there any misconceptions that you feel are important to explain to people that can help understand why some of these non-public schools are so critical, particularly in New York City?
So one of the things is that we did an economic study a number of years back, and I'm sure if we updated the numbers would be even more startling. But not only obviously do non-public schools save the taxpayer a tremendous amount of money from the perspective of that they are taking a student who otherwise would be in a public or in a charter school, and they are now educating that student. That's a massive saving, but that's not even the biggest piece of things. There is literally economic development that comes from it. It's a multi-billion dollar enterprise because the desks that you have, I hope that's okay for your sound, the desk that every school has, someone, they had to purchase that, someone had to make that, the buildings that they're in, the rent that they're paying, all these things, the lunch programs that they do, a vendor has to provide for that. So when we broke it down, we saw it as an economic driver. It's a multi-billion dollar engine for New York, just from the perspective of everything that they're doing, which is just really remarkable. And it goes to show you that not only is it saving taxpayer dollars, but the creation of them actually makes money for the taxpayer as well, which is why that symbiosis is just so important for the average, not just elected official to understand, but the average political person to understand as well. And I think that the misconception we get is they say, oh, whenever they're asking for funding, it's taking money away from something else. We don't feel that way, obviously. But also there's a feeling like we're a very small group. And in New York State, we're 17% of the education population. In New York City, just the Jewish day school students alone are larger than the charter school students in New York City. So
Wow.
we are very large. And I think that's one of the reasons why our movement's taken off is because our parents and grandparents and even the students, they want to feel represented.
Well, listen, I have to change the subject a little bit. I love your hat. It says, "Don't kvetch, vote." A little Yiddish there, which I love. We're talking the day after the New York City primaries, and there were some primaries up in Westchester, particularly Westchester. I guess it was the 16th district primary, drew huge attention nationally. And it really is important for people to get out to vote. You know, that race, I think, had a strong showing. But there are some other places where really, you know, it was sad how few people come out to vote. But I'd love to hear how Teach Coalition engages with local communities and policymakers to advocate effectively during election cycles, because a race like that is so critical for many reasons.
Well, the swag is new, but so are our tactics. And so the tactics we did were brand new in the sense that we opened a physical voting center, is what we called it, where we literally we had volunteers going out and helping people to get out to vote, educating them about the ability for them to get out to vote, educating them about the importance of registration. And the way we envisioned it is you got your butcher, your baker, not your candlestick maker. Now you have your voter center. And that really was a wake-up call, I think, for so many members of New York 16. And I think that when people are given an education as to how the sausage is made in politics, I think they wake up and say, I got to vote. And when I talk about the falling stats, it really just blows people's mind, which is that did you know that only 15% of people nationwide come out in municipal elections? And did you know only 10% come out in school board elections? And so people, when they realize that and they say, well, wait a second, so who's getting elected? Well, a lot of times it's whomever can turn out a little small percentage above the 10% of the 15%. And so people say to themselves, wait a second. So are there people who are turning those that and I said, well, there's a whole cottage industry of people who are turning out their voters, their interests, their groups, and populations that are much larger in whether it's congressional districts or local and state districts are not being represented because simply people are not turning out. And if you don't turn out to vote, you have no voice. And so that education has created what we feel is starting to be a movement of people who really are starting to care about voting in a very substantial way. And so the don't kvetch vote, which you mentioned, the hat, which we sell also if people want to support our efforts. But the don't kvetch vote effort is really about the idea that you can kvetch, but it doesn't do anything to impact policy or politics, but you can vote And if you vote, that can literally change the world.
Well, I love to hear the grassroots effort. I mean, I literally was talking to my editor about what we could do in terms of editorializing about how to get more people to vote. Because at the end of the day, the statistics you gave are scary. How few people come out to vote. And I think something has to happen where there's got to be, more grassroots advocacy. There's got to be easier way to vote. Something has to give because we need more of our community showing up. But I'm really glad to see that you made that effort in the 16th district. Lastly, could you share a success story or milestone where Teach Coalition's advocacy efforts have made a significant impact on education policy, particularly for non-public schools?
I'll come back to the STEAM funding because now there's in New York State there's a STEM program, and in New Jersey there's also a STEM program. We're hoping actually a couple other states there are STEM programs also. I love talking about the STEM program because when we originally proposed it, some people would say, "Well, the states of New York, New Jersey are investing in non-public school STEM funding. Why would they do that?" And there's sort of a reflexive reaction saying, "Well, I'm against that," or "I don't think that's the right thing to do." But when you think about what it's doing. Well, not just for these children, which is obviously a reason enough to do it, but for the states, it makes a lot of sense. It's the kind of good policy that we should seek in America, which is a child who graduates with a STEM degree is more likely to make money at a higher rate than a child who doesn't. And if you go around New York City and you go to these tech jobs and you talk to these people who are pushing out tech jobs, they cannot find New Yorkers with the tech skills they need. And those are the ones we want to build those tech jobs. We want to build this industry. We want to build the tax revenue. All the people come on their show talking about different causes and things, et cetera. Ultimately, that money's going to come from Albany or the city or how we appropriate our government dollars. But at the end of the day, it has to come from people generating jobs. And so you have a program that can invest in young people and then create more jobs. I do that every day of the week. And that's the kind of good policy we should be seeking as New Yorkers.
Yeah, I love to hear that. I'm on the foundation board for City Tech. And one of the great things is that they give a great education for an affordable price, but they're giving an education around career paths and jobs that are needed. And these kids are getting great careers right out of college. So I think, the earlier that they can learn, technology and other areas where there's going to be a strong demand in the future for jobs is terrific.
Yeah.
Well, Maury, it's been a pleasure talking to you and really learning more about Teach Coalition, and keep up that advocacy.
Well, I got to get you a hat, Josh. I'm going to send you a hat.
I would love it.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks so much. Make sure to subscribe to Schneps Connects podcast. You can listen to us at podcast.schnepsmedia.com or stream us on all major podcast platforms.